The Strange Idea of Continuous Living by Umedoshi Isabet, read for you by Flamingwell. This Guardian fanwork is rated teen and up, and no archive warnings apply. Additional tags include canon divergence, hurt comfort, unorthodox torture techniques. Summary. Canon deviation during / around episode 33. Yetsun tries to break his brother a different way. There are consequences. Yetsun exhales life, and Shenwei needs to live. He can't breathe. His mouth and throat are dry enough to give him trouble speaking when speech is required. It's been long enough since he's eaten, but the pangs of hunger have subsided into something he can ignore, although his muscles and powers feel the lack of nourishment. Day and night may not exist in Dixing, but time's absence is a lie. His body knows the rhythm of sunrise and sunset, and since he last slept, several of each have passed in the world above. All of those things he can endure, as he endures the weight of the chains that bind and slowly, mercilessly, greedily drain him, leaving cold and pain in place of the energy they leech away. He can endure, but his chest burns with the lack of oxygen, and he gasps for air, choking on nothingness, until suddenly there is something, enough for his aching lungs to take the shallowest of breaths. Not enough to clear the dark haze around his vision, but enough to keep it from encroaching further. Barely. "Now?" murmurs a voice, low and eager. His brother hasn't even been trying to coax him, only to wait him out. But time has not taught him patience.
"No,"
Shenwei croaks. A hand twists in his hair, dragging his head back.
"I'm getting bored, Gugu."
The thin trace of air is gone again. The last thing he's going to see is his brother's eyes, so like and unlike the ones he sees in the mirror, burning into him. He and his twin are all that exist in this rapidly dwindling universe. His twin, who is touching him for the first time in millennia. His twin, here in body as well as soul and mind. Tangible. Wrenching at his head to cause pain, holding Yunlan's name in his mouth as if... Yunlan? Yetsun's eyes, the last light in the universe, wink out as the darkness rushes in. The darkness opens its mouth and exhales into him. Something sparks in his lungs, burns like dying embers, but fails to ignite. Pain explodes in his face. He tastes his own blood and swallows what he can, feeding on himself. There's a bump against his parted lips, his gritted teeth. Now, his brother hisses, breath cold on Shen Wei's cheek, and this time it's not a question. A hand in his hair, another at his jaw, prying. Sustenance like mist on his tongue. No, he tries to say, but those hands are clamping his mouth closed now, pinching his nose shut, holding his head as still as the chains hold his body.
Swallow it.
He doesn't swallow. He doesn't need to. The stuff on his tongue, he knows what it is, he knows, dissolves into his blood, into his throat. His lungs and stomach accept it with a gibbering ecstasy. The frigid pain in his limbs thaws. A new light gleams in the depths of his mind, small and useless. Yitzun unhands his head with a brutal shove, slamming the back of his skull into the pillar. Once, twice, hard enough to leave a human dead.
See? You're no better than me, after all.
The absence of time is a lie Di Xing tells itself. That doesn't mean time's presence, what he feels of it, what his body and mind know of it, is the truth. He knows that. He knows it before Yitzun arrives again, accompanied by two people. The one wearing chains of his own is dropped at the pillar's base like so much garbage. Shen Wei recognizes him, a criminal he brought back from the surface himself, who'd fled to Haixing not to walk in the sunlight, but to escape well-deserved punishment. The other, a stranger, walks right up to Shen Wei and puts chilly hands on his face.
Traitor, she spits.
Through the rest of his pain, he barely feels her nails gouging deep into his temples and cheeks as her power unfurls around him. And inside his body, time fractures. Time spills out of him like the entrails of a beast opened from throat to groin. Hours stream from his eyes, days bleed from his pores. He is left starved and numb, convulsing again and again as his body consumes its own muscles and energy, gnaws its own bones from within to find the marrow. When he screams, what emerges is the soundless cry of something already dead. Power surges nearby. He jerks feebly against the chains, dimly aware that he is no longer being touched. And then he is. His brother's mouth is like ice against his. Lips moving in a mockery of a kiss, an obscenity of hatred and despair. Yitzun exhales life, and Shen Wei needs to live. He wants to live for his lover, his people, his world. He wants to live. Of the two people Yitzun brought with him, only one leaves. The other is an acrid taste in Shenvei's throat. He does dream of Zhao Yunlan, after all. He dreams of his own sword in the hands of a shadow, then of Yunlan taking up the blade. Terror nails him to the edge of consciousness as the dark energy ricochets through Yunlan's unbearably beloved, fragile human body. Too weak to cry out, Shenwei dreams of the shadow reclaiming the sword, freeing him. And the shadow is a man, just a man, a dying man whose last words are to Shenwei, to the black-cloaked envoy, liege lord and hand of justice, who lacks the strength to heal him, or even to stand. The black-cloaked envoy of Di Xing is only a man, too. And he needs to live. The man who was a shadow is beyond his power to save. Shen Wei breathes in the life that is ending before him. Swallows. He isn't dreaming. Sick and shaking and awake, he meets the horror and uncertainty in his beloved's eyes. Shenwei? The instant Shenwei's name passes his lips, Zhao Yunlan cursed himself. There was a wobble in his voice, betraying the fleeting pang of doubt. Doubt that Shenwei should never have had to hear, but especially not while he was hunkered down, face haggard and hollowed and raw in a way Zhao Yunlan had never seen. With no response forthcoming, Zhao Yunlan tried again. Shenwei, did you just... No, forget that. We need to get moving. Get you and Xiao Guo out of here. He reached out to put a hand on Shenwei's arm and finally got a reaction. Shenwei recoiled with inhuman quickness, gaze jerking up to just below Zhao Yunlan's.
Did I just what?
He was upright in a blur of motion, swaying slightly and staring, all without meeting Zhao Yunlan's eyes.
Finish the question, please.
Zhao Yunlan stumbled to his feet, too.
Was that Yitzun's power? He came to you? You learned it?
Shenwei's weapon was in his hand. Zhao Yunlan hadn't even seen him reclaim it.
I learned his power long ago. But I need to wield a power to attain finesse with it.
He didn't want to ask the next question.
Was this the first time you used it?
Shenwei looked at him then, not speaking until his scalp and neck prickled and his spine went cold. For all of Zhao Yunlan's joking and disrespect, for all that Shenwei's imperious voice went straight to his id in dangerously hot ways at that, this particular expression, one that said, "You dare question me?" was intimidating.
No,
Shenwei said, and somehow the fact that he was answering thawed the air between them, even as the answer itself knotted Zhao Yunlan's stomach. He'd known before ever meeting the black-cloaked envoy that taking lives was in the job description. Hell, it wasn't like he himself had never killed anyone. But consuming them?
But never before this, Shenwei continued, voice low. Not before the chains.
This time, when Zhao Yunlan reached out, Shenwei allowed the touch. Zhao Yunlan wasn't sure whether it was because he'd admitted to the worst. Please let that be the worst. Or simply because this time Shenwei saw the touch coming. Whichever it was, Shenwei stood motionless under his hand, rigid to the point of trembling.
Who chained you?
Zhao Yunlan was getting shaky in his own right, with a building fury that scared him in some sensible corner of his mind. The affront to Shenwei's person as a ruler of Di Xing was one thing. A problem, sure, since Di Xing was ostensibly an ally with the power structure supported by the Xingdu Bureau. But hands had been laid on Shenwei, his lover and partner and joy, and all Zhao Yunlan could feel with Shenwei alive and arguably whole in front of him was molten rage at the thought. Even softer, and no longer looking at him, almost as if he were alone, Shenwei murmured,
"He touched me,"
with a confusing note of wonder.
"He touched me, Yunlan."
That punched through the anger for a moment, adding both an array of feelings that demanded more information and a wave of simple, pure love at Shenwei using only his given name, a rare enough occurrence even in bed.
"What? Who touched you?"
Shenwei's soft tone made no sense that he could see.
"Yetsun."
Shenwei glanced over at Xiao Guo's motionless form as if making sure he was still unconscious. Then he turned back to Zhao Yunlan, the tension in his body changing as their eyes met.
"My brother."
And that made too much sense of too many things all at once. "Don't start yelling at him. Don't. Not now." Through numb lips, Zhao Yunlan said, "We really have to get out of here." He squeezed Shenwei's arm and let go. "Before you keel over, I can't carry you and Xiao Guo both."
"I can."
"You can't!" There were the fury and the frustration and the relief at Shenwei being alive and the terror of seeing him hurt further. It was too damn much. "You fucking well can't, Shenwei. You look half dead. We are getting out of here now, and then you and I are gonna talk. Understand?" His voice cracked. "Please, baby." Shenwei, black-cloaked envoy, ultimate ruler of Di Xing, nodded stiffly, and Zhao Yunlan knelt to hoist Guo Chengcheng's limp form onto his back again.
But, of course, getting out wasn't so easy. The good news was that Shen Lei was up and walking. And that was just about the only good news for all that Zhao Yunlan wanted to believe it was all that really mattered. The fact that Shen Lei was on his feet only because he'd eaten the guy who'd helped them was creepy and upsetting, no matter how obvious it was, intellectually, that the Shadow Man had willingly sacrificed his life and had been breathing his last. Zhao Yunlan found himself wondering about Di Xing Yi's burial customs as they walked, whether the lack of a corpse would be a problem on that front. He told himself that the man's death had saved Shen Wei twice over, thanks to Ye Zun's power. His brother? What the fuck? The bad news, one of many, many pieces of it, was that when they reached the portal back to Haixing, the regent was waiting for them, adding yet more weight to Zhao Yunlan's pet theory that the regent's power was always knowing when and where to show up to make things as hard as possible for his political enemies. He'd brought only two guards, perhaps on the assumption that if Shen Wei was strong enough to fight them off, a dozen wouldn't do much better. Or maybe people were defecting. That would be nice. The smile the regent gave them was barely obsequious at all, but it showed none of the triumph that was betrayed in his eyes. At least someone was enjoying himself.
Lord Envoy, you don't look well. Perhaps you might wait for your brother before departing.
A darting glance at Zhao Yunlan on the word brother spoke volumes about his intentions in using it. That had been meant as new information and intended to hit. Zhao Yunlan itched to mouth off, but settled for looking unfazed. He couldn't fight while carrying Guo Chengcheng, and setting him down wasn't an option when they had to get through that portal the second Shen Wei had it open. He stayed just off to Shen Wei's side, close enough to move with him, and far enough not to be in his way when he struck.
"So you've chosen your side,"
Shen Wei said.
"I've chosen the only side I can," replied the regent.
He drew himself up a tiny bit, and Zhao Yunlan boggled inwardly. Now? Now the slippery bastard was making a show of self-respect?
"And you, you've forgotten who you are, Highness."
Under the crescent gashes and flaking dried blood, Shen Wei's face was ruthlessly blank.
"No, old man," he said. "You've forgotten who I am."
The regent humphed.
"What are you going to do? Cut me down and hide my body? Or display it as if battles are still won on open fields?"
He spoke as if he had no doubt that he was going to walk away from this.
"No."
Half of Shen Wei's implacable expression vanished as his mask and cloak materialized, obscuring him.
"There will be no body."
He extended a hand, energy gathering in his palm.
"You are relieved of your position, Regent of Di Xing. You are relieved of your position, Regent of Di Xing." He opened his mouth. Inhale.
When he was finished, there was only the empty space where the regent had stood, and two
terrified guards who, whether or not they'd ever seen whatever it looked like when Yitzun pulled the same trick, had clearly not known that it was part of Shen Wei's arsenal. Shen Wei inclined his head at them.
"Stand aside, or you will regret it. Briefly."
He didn't look in Zhao Yunlan's direction as he added,
"Lord Guardian, go."
The coalesced dark energy erupted from his hand. Zhao Yunlan started moving even before the portal was open, trusting Shen Wei to be on his heels. The world spun around him. He couldn't help straining for a glimpse of whatever the void might show him, but this time it was sound that assailed him. His mother, again, crying his name, screaming his father's name in helpless rage. They were through. The portal closed. What shocked him back to reality was the sound of Shen Wei hitting the ground like a corpse, was his first thought, but nope, not going there. Like exactly what he was, like someone who'd pushed himself way too hard and collapsed from it and was going to be fine. Carrying, or even dragging, both Shen Wei and Guo Chengcheng anywhere was still impossible. Zhao Yunlan carefully laid Xiao Guo out on the grass, made sure his airway was still clear, and let himself focus on Shen Wei. Shen Wei, back in his blue suit, had made it as far up as his hands and knees. There was no telling if he might have managed to drag himself further upright if he hadn't been coughing violently, blood bright on his lips and no longer pristine handkerchief. Zhao Yunlan was pretty sure there was blood on the grass in front of him, too, but he refused to look too closely. If Shen Wei were losing a dangerous amount, it would be obvious. This was his life now. Calculating whether the amount of blood his lover was hacking up was enough that he should be seriously worried, as opposed to the luxurious assumption that any blood at all meant dropping everything and going to the hospital. He crouched beside Shen Wei and got an arm around him, holding on firmly enough to offer support without any pretense of restraining him. Shen Wei trembled against him, so subtly that Zhao Yunlan wouldn't have been able to tell without the physical contact. "Hey," Zhao Yunlan said quietly, leaning over to kiss Shen Wei's hair. "Will anything besides rest help?" With obvious reluctance, Shen Wei said,
"Unlikely."
"Okay then. We need to get Xiao Guo back to HQ so Lin Jing can check him out, and then I'm getting you home and putting you to bed." Zhao Yunlan yanked out his phone and checked its status. "Precious cell signal, never leave me again."
"I feel compelled to mention that you left it,"
Shen Wei said, dry as dust. "Given the state I found you in down there, you don't get to criticize." Zhao Yunlan grimaced while he dialed, barely glancing at the screen. "Shit, I can't remember the last time I wanted to smoke so badly." Shen Wei wiped his lips, then carefully folded his handkerchief to hide the blood.
"Who are you calling?"
"A cab." A dispatcher picked up as Zhao Yunlan replied. As he requested a car, he gave silent thanks that it was in the middle of the business day. Once the call disconnected, he said,
I could call a ministry car, but it'd take longer and there'd be paperwork. In less than an hour, they were home. That was at least 55 minutes too long, in Zhao Yunlan's highly biased opinion, for all that it had included, one, getting an unconscious Guo Chengcheng and an increasingly unsteady Shen Wei into the cab, two, taking Xiao Guo to headquarters and leaving him to Lin Jing's care and Lao Shu's hovering. Zhao Yunlan refused to feel bad for thinking of it that way. It was only hypocrisy if he refused to apply the same word to his own behavior around Shen Wei. And three, getting back in the cab and driving to their building, where they eventually made it to their floor and finally into the apartment. It wasn't until they were inside that Zhao Yunlan thought to wonder if Shen Wei might have preferred his own apartment. But here, he wouldn't have to pester Shen Wei to find out where to locate anything they might need. Or at least it was less likely. Some of Shen Wei's ideas about where to stash things when he was tidying Zhao Yunlan's place bore no resemblance to where Zhao Yunlan himself might have put them, had he ever put them away. If he hadn't been scared already, fear would have set in when Shen Wei accepted his company and assistance in the shower without pushback. Shen Wei could often be tempted into sharing the shower for the explicit purpose of enjoying themselves or relaxing together, but otherwise insisted on showering solo. Zhao Yunlan had never managed to even persuade him to double up to save time in the morning. Getting clean was a relief, and Zhao Yunlan appreciated that lathering and rinsing Shen Wei's skin gave the excuse to touch him everywhere, feeling the quiver in his muscles and seeing the full extent of the bruising left by the chains that had bound him to that fucking pillar. Worrying as it was to see him in that condition, running his hands over Shen Wei's body and feeling the solid reality of him offered some reassurance. Those bruises, though, they weren't quite like anything Zhao Yunlan had ever seen. So dark that they seemed to swallow light, the shape of every individual link starkly visible on pale skin. Even under the hot water, touching them made his fingertips ache and tingle as if the marks were cold enough to burn. "These look like they hurt," he said, stroking a thumb over a mark across Shen Wei's bicep. "Shit, does touching them make them feel worse?"
"I would have told you,"
Shen Wei replied. "Like hell you would." Shen Wei mustered a faint smile.
"I would have told you if I wanted you to stop."
"You never want me to stop," Zhao Yunlan pointed out, unable to sound grumpy about it. Shen Wei was too visibly weak and in pain. And besides, what kind of asshole got annoyed because his partner welcomed his touch even under the most ludicrous circumstances? The irony of that thought didn't escape him when, a moment later, he leaned in to give Shen Wei a comforting kiss, and Shen Wei flinched, his eyes suddenly wide and terrified. Thankfully, Shen Wei didn't pull away any further when that panicked look made Zhao Yunlan reflexively grab hold of him. He even let himself be drawn closer, tucking himself against Zhao Yunlan's body as if acquiescence might disguise how violently he was shaking,
or how carefully he was angling his head to keep his mouth away from Zhao Yunlan's skin. It disguised nothing, and, Zhao Yunlan was reasonably sure, explained what the problem was. He kissed Shen Wei's wet hair before saying, "If you're shaky on your feet and freaking out, it's way past time to get you to bed. Okay if I turn the water off?" Shen Wei nodded wordlessly, straightening up with the slow stiffness of an old man feeling his years. Neither of them spoke as they toweled off, or as they pulled on nightclothes, or as Shen Wei let Zhao Yunlan nudge him toward and then into bed. At that point, Zhao Yunlan had to break the silence. "Do you want me to lie down too? What I'm getting here is that you're scared of accidentally using Yetsun's power on me." Shen Wei reached up and grasped both of his hands.
"Yes and yes," he said,
and Zhao Yunlan let himself be drawn down, reeled in as much by Shen Wei's longing as his strength.
"Do you know that kissing me will trigger the power?"
Zhao Yunlan asked once they were settled, hands still clasped as they faced each other. Despite the heat of the shower, Shen Wei's hands still felt too cold, as if his circulation was still recovering. Zhao Yunlan chafed them gently.
"Or are you freaked out because it's theoretically possible?"
The tension in Shen Wei's frame didn't lessen in the slightest, even as he admitted,
"The latter."
Very carefully, Zhao Yunlan continued,
"I've seen you use more force than you meant to, but I don't think I've ever seen you use an ability unintentionally. Am I missing something? You learned Wang Yiku's life-draining trick, but it doesn't keep you from having skin contact with anyone like it did for her. Why is this so different?"
Shen Wei was silent for a long moment before saying,
"Two unusual variables are at play."
More silence. Finally, Zhao Yunlan prodded,
"And they are?"
Haunted eyes slid shut.
"Yetsun is my younger brother. My twin. His power, it feels natural within me, like another facet of my own."
Shen Wei's brow creased. Zhao Yunlan had to fight the urge to kiss the sign of worry away.
"If a child learns to swim, that knowledge is part of them. It can become instinctive."
Shen Wei took a deep breath.
"But it isn't innate. Not the way it's generally innate for an infant to cry out when in need. The second variable is simply that right now, I am different."
Shen Wei forced his eyes back open with such effort that Zhao Yunlan cringed.
"You know that my dark energy levels haven't been what they should be."
That didn't need confirmation, but Zhao Yunlan spoke anyway.
"I know, baby. They were depleted far more in Dixing. One of Yetsun's followers tore time from me. weeks of it at once, I think, and my energy with it until... The sudden desperation Zhao Yunlan saw in Shen Wei's eyes hit him like a punch to the throat. It was as if I were dying of thirst. Shen Wei whispered. And then, as if my brother poured water into my mouth, Yunlan.
So you drank.
Zhao Yunlan said, hoping to spare him from saying it. Shen Wei didn't spare himself.
I drank. And I am still so thirsty, and now I can see that water everywhere. In everyone. In you.
Okay. Zhao Yunlan exhaled slowly, weighing his words with care. That's a lot to deal with, but it doesn't mean it can't be dealt with. We're gonna figure it out. You know how I know? He found a quick smile, but didn't pause long enough for Shen Wei to answer. Because I don't plan on dying anytime soon, and there is no fucking way I'm going the rest of my life without kissing you. And before you try to lecture me, can I tell you how I'm feeling right now?
Shen Wei's grip on his hands tightened painfully, but he nodded.
I'm worried sick, Zhao Yunlan said. If there was any hope of getting his point across on the first try, he was pretty sure that hope lay in hitting Shen Wei with all the bluntness he could. I'm worried about both of our worlds, about whatever your brother's up to, and you can bet your ass I'm going to yell at you about that, Lord Envoy. And about all the bullshit that no one but us seems to be trying to take care of. I'm worried about all that, and I'm scared half to death for you. But you know how else I feel?
He let himself move his head just a tiny bit closer to Shen Wei's, squeezing his hands back as hard as he could.
I feel safe. Today, I watched you eat a guy who probably deserved it, and I know that you're scraped bare and hungry and that you're dying for more, but I am right here, and I feel safe. Because I know you.
Very, very slowly, he moved again. Not for a kiss, but to press their foreheads together as he repeated, very softly,
I feel safe because I'm with you, not in spite of it.
The sound Shen Wei made was almost inaudible, lost in the raggedness of his breathing. Zhao Yunlan wished he were less sure that it was the beginning of a protestation. He let himself kiss Shen Wei's temple, then said, Can you face away from me? I get the feeling that's the only way you'll relax at all right now. Shen Wei nodded and released his death grip on Zhao Yunlan's hands. As he rolled over to face the wall, Zhao Yunlan insinuated an arm under him and cuddled close.
I've got you, and I'm not going anywhere, okay? Not even if you try to push me away.
He rested his cheek against the back of Shen Wei's neck and closed his eyes.
But do us both a favor and don't try. We're both too damn tired.
As you wish,
Shenwei said, and the faint hint of amusement in his voice, however grudging it might be, was as warming as a dozen blankets.
Good, Zhao Yunlan replied.
Whether or not it was a conscious decision to let him have the final word for the moment, Shenwei didn't say anything more. He just lay still in Zhao Yunlan's arms, alive and whole and there, accepting the wordless love. Zhao Yunlan held him tighter and hoped it was enough. Patient, plodding, a green skin, growing over whatever winter did to us, a return to the strange idea of continuous living despite the mess of us, the hurt, the empty. Instructions on Not Giving Up by Ada Limon. The end. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this podfic. If you liked it, please leave feedback on AO3. And if you enjoyed the story, please be sure to click that link to go back to the text version and leave some feedback for the author as well. I friggin' loved this story so much. I've actually been wanting to record this one for a while. This story hit me like a ton of bricks when I first read it. Oh my god, I don't even know how to express the things this story made me feel. You know, Shenwei being forced to use Yitzhun's power in that way to, you know, at all. And, you know, especially like with the Shadow Man and then choosing to use it on the regent so that he and Zhao Yunlan can escape. It blows my mind. And the artistry of the story crafting, the beginning part that feels, you know, kind of dreamlike and poetry-like in Shenwei's POV, and then, you know, into the much more down-to-earth and, like, lovingly freaking out Zhao Yunlan POV, and I love it. I love it so much. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed my my ramblings here. And, you know, kudos to you if you stuck around this long to the end of my little mini rant here. And yeah, thanks again for listening.